Today, President Bush nominated one of the chief architects of the Iraq War, Paul Wolfowitz, to be the new president of the World Bank. Wolfowitz is a surprising and controversial choice for the position. Joining us now to tell us more about this nomination and the challenges the next president of the World Bank will face is Michael Duffy, Washington Bureau Chief for Time Magazine. He's with us from his office here in Washington. Michael, nice to have you back on the program.
Hi, Neil.
And also with us is Jeffrey Winters, Professor of Political Economy at Northwestern University, co-editor of Reinventing the World Bank. He joins us from his office in Chicago. Nice to have you back as well, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Michael Duffy, why Paul Wolfowitz and why now?
Well, the current president, James Wolfowitz, was stepping down after almost 10 years on the job. This has traditionally been a position that has been filled by the United States. It's subject to a vote of the board of the World Bank, but I think when the president looked around, he wanted someone that he knew and could work with. And Wolfowitz had made a little secret of the fact that he didn't think he was going to ever become Pentagon chief. But this is someone who's worked in government for so long, both as a diplomat and as a Pentagon official. I think he wanted to stay, and clearly the president thought he ought to.
Again, he is controversial in Europe in particular because of his advocacy for the Iraq War. Jack Straw, British Foreign Secretary, said today this is a nomination by the United States government. Paul Wolfowitz is a very distinguished and experienced internationally. If his appointment is confirmed, we look forward to working with him, which is, I guess, positive, but not exactly hats in the air. German Development Minister Heidi Marie Wieczorek-Zeudel says the enthusiasm in old Europe is not exactly overwhelming. The French Foreign Minister Michel Barnier says it's a proposal. We shall examine it in the context of the personality of the person you mentioned and perhaps in view of other candidates. Other candidates?
I think these are the kind of things that that foreign leaders are saying for their domestic audiences. I'd be very surprised if the White House did not run this very clearly up and down the flagpole in all the capitals that matter. I don't think they would have nominated Wolfowitz unless they at least got what looked like a green light, because they don't want to have a defeat. That's never happened before. There's a tradition of sending people without this kind of experience to, without, you know, sort of international, you know, banking experience to this position. And there's even been a defense secretary before, but I think they probably checked this out with the capitals that matter.
Jeffrey Winters, what's your take on this? Is there politics at the World Bank behind this?
Probably more politics within Washington more broadly than at the World Bank itself. I find the nomination to be disturbing from the angle not so much having to do with the profile of Wolfowitz himself and whether he is a strong individual within Washington, but whether he is the right person for the bank at this time. It is an extremely controversial moment for the World Bank historically. It's under attack from a lot of different directions on what the institution is doing, money leaking from the World Bank, whether it's effective as a development instrument, and to do two things, to put in someone at this time who really has no development background and also someone who is also himself personally very controversial, strikes me as a very curious choice.
Paul Wolfowitz would bring some strength, though, to the job.
Well, strength, but strength in what direction? I mean, we're at a moment where countries all over the world are mired in deep debt. The track record of the World Bank itself is problematic. And what we would need is someone who would come in and reorient the institution. Now, you may say, well, someone with just a general bureaucratic background might be the right person to do that, and a good position of strength in Washington certainly helps. But again, the question is, what is the blueprint? What is the architecture? And I don't know that Paul Wolfowitz has anything at all in his background that strengthens him to understand what the developmental problems are around the world.
He is not an economist, but other heads of the World Bank have not been either.
Yes, and that has partly contributed to the World Bank's failures over 50 years plus. I mean, what we really need at this point is someone who can think through, first of all, what has been so weak at the bank in terms of its approach to development, we don't have time to rehearse it here, but there is enough literature out there and controversy to point out that the track record is basically not good, and so I think it ought to be a basic requirement that the person be strong and effective, but that's only basic. Beyond that, you really need someone who can take the reins and lead the bank in a direction that it needs to be led in.
There has been, as we mentioned, a gentleman's agreement that the president of the World Bank is always appointed by the president of the United States. The head of the IMF is named by the Europeans. Jeffrey Winters, do you see, given the lukewarm response that we're hearing, at least initially from Europe, is there going to be resistance to this?
There could be resistance. And by the way, it's not just Europe. You're getting also at one of the fundamental problems with the bank, the IMF, and the WTO. The rest of the world, the so-called clients of the World Bank, are also members of the World Bank. And we haven't heard yet from what India thinks, from what Indonesia thinks, and so on. There are a lot of countries out there who do a lot of work with the World Bank, and there has been a movement afoot to try to make these institutions, which have been dominated since the end of the Second World War, almost exclusively by the U.S. And Europe, to open them up and make them a bit more representative of what the rest of the world sees. And so one wonders not so much what does Europe think of this decision, but what does the rest of the world, what does Africa think, what does Latin America think?
And Michael Duffy, let me turn to you on that question. This is not the only controversial appointment of late. John Bolton, a longtime critic of the United Nations, has now been named to be ambassador to the United Nations. What sort of signal do you think the administration is sending, and what sort of signal do you think may be received?
Well, this is, to me, the most interesting part of this. This is the second sort of neoconservative that the president has moved out either of Washington or out of government to take over an institution, or at least to be the U.S. representative in an institution that the conservative wing of this party doesn't have much use for. And in a way, he seems to me it's Bush is getting the best of both worlds here from a political positioning point of view. He both moves two neoconservatives out of his inner circle, but gives that flank of his party two more notches on their belt at two places that they have longed to either reform or ignore or whatever. Politically, it's shrewd of the president to do this, and I suspect to the point about Asia and perhaps other countries. I mean, don't forget, Wolfowitz was an ambassador to Asia to Indonesia for quite some time. If he knows any part of the world at all well, it is probably Asia and South Asia, Southeast Asia, the best. He may have a better reception here than we at least initially imagined. This is what he did spent most of the 1980s on. But I do think that the combination of both Bolton and Wolfowitz in such close proximity could lead to some kind of backlash from some quarter. I'm not saying it won't happen. There's an element of controversy in everything Bush does. He likes it that way, I often think. And so it's almost not a Bush decision if it doesn't make someone unhappy somewhere. So that could happen. It could. I don't expect this to be overturned. I expect it to be approved. And the vote is sometime soon. We're not exactly clear when it would be. But that doesn't mean it won't be without some friction or static.
Jeffrey Winters, if we assume for the moment that this will go ahead and the traditions will hold, what does the president of the World Bank do, and what are going to be the first few issues that he has to face?
Well, the president of the World Bank is the face of the bank. It's a high-profile position, and it's a two-part position. It is an ambassador to the rest of the world on questions of development, but it's also someone who has to take the reins of what is a very unwieldy institution and try to get it focused on its task. And one of the things we tried to do, the scholars who were we collected together in reinventing the World Bank, was to look at what the bank was at its outset, how the world changed, and how really the fit between the bank now and the world as it's changed is not very good. It would be a really good idea if Wolfowitz, if he is confirmed and gets the position, would sit down and try to do a second Bretton Woods, where they would look again at these institutions afresh and ask, what does the world need going forward from an institution like the World Bank, and how could it be reinvented? If he has the sway to be able to call together that kind of global meeting and reorient the bank, it'll be a step in the right direction. But I don't know that is even on the table for someone like him. And I suppose we'll have to see. My guess is he there will be controversy, but I would be surprised if he doesn't get the position.
Neil, if I could say one other thing about the kind of role Wolfowitz normally plays in these institutions.
Go ahead.
Traditionally, at the Pentagon, for example, you know, the theorist is the defense secretary and the manager is the deputy defense secretary. And one runs the place, you know, the other sort of thinks up the broad vision. Under Bush, it's been reversed. Rumsfeld was the manager. He was the one pulling all the strings and working the levers. And it was Wolfowitz, the number two, who was doing the grand strategy, the big thinking, the visionary stuff. That's the way his brain works. He's if anything, a political theorist, more than he is a manager. And so, again, not to go against the immediate reaction, but I think it is possible that Wolfowitz will stay in that thing he does best, which is to think the big thoughts, and he tends to be sort of revolutionary in the way he thinks, as we've learned. And that will be closer to the role he plays than people might expect.
Michael Duffy, thanks as always.
You bet.
Michael Duffy, Washington Bureau Chief for Time Magazine, with us from his office here in Washington. And also, Jeffrey Winters, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Jeffrey Winters, Professor of Political Economy at Northwestern University, co-editor of Reinventing the World Bank, and he joined us from his office in Chicago. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.